Did you miss church this weekend? Was the sermon so good you wanted to hear it again? Welcome to the Hope Tri-Cities Sermon Podcast.
So, hey, I want to give a warning today. Before I jump into my message, I don't want you this morning to feel guilt. I don't want you this morning to feel shame or to feel bad about your story or what you haven't done or wish you did more of. Today is a day of hope, okay? And so when I'm speaking this morning, don't think I'm speaking about specifically you. I'm speaking to all of us, myself included. And so I don't want you to let the enemy into your mind in regards to start chipping away at you like, oh man, he's talking to me. Stay with me. I coach hard, and I tell our kids when I coach, like, hey, it's love. It's because I care about you. And so I'm going to preach hard today. It's because I care and I love you guys. And so that's why I want to give you a warning about that this morning, because we're talking about a subject that goes right along with our mission statement, with Pastor Angel talked about, which is to unleash hope to the Tri-Cities beyond by loving God, loving people, and living like Jesus. And that's an incredible mission statement, and I believe we're living it out as a church, which is super exciting. But in order to truly unleash hope, you have to be all in with Jesus. And so today, I want you to do me a favor. Angel alluded to it, but I want to point you to another card that we have. It says, how can we pray for you? There's a blank space there. My challenge for you this morning is to grab that right now and write the words, today I commit to, and then leave it blank. And I'm going to talk about what we're going to commit to, because I'm going to challenge you today, or if you want to go online, and you can do it online as well through our Connect card that's on our website, you can respond that way too, or if you're taking notes. But I encourage you to take notes today, because when we write things down, when we're taking notes, it engages us, and that's when ideas come to us. I'm a big journaler, and I believe there's science to back that up, so I challenge you to jump in on that. Here's some things I'm tired of hearing from people. Quote, and here, I just said the word. I'm tired of hearing how tired people are. I'm tired of hearing how busy people are. I'm tired of hearing how stressed people are. Because reality check, that's just called life, right? No matter what season you're in, whether you're married with kids, whether you're single, whether you're a teenager, or whether you're retired, we're all tired, we're all stressed, we're all sore, we fill in the blank. Now, there are some things that control those as well, right? We spend too much time scrolling, not enough time sleeping. We spend too much time fueling our bodies with things that we shouldn't, which messes up our everything, and we don't feel right. So there are things that play into that, but the reason why I'm tired of that is because I truly believe those things are a representation of what it means to be lukewarm. And that's what we're going to talk about today, being lukewarm. And again, I'm in this with you, and I'll talk about that. So here's what I want to start off with. A lukewarm heart may not reject Jesus outright, but it resists giving him everything. And here's how I know we live in a lukewarm world today. And catch my heart. I didn't say lukewarm church. I said lukewarm world. Because statistically, antidepressants are being used by every age more and more each year. What's that a product of? We lack purpose. The suicide rates continue to go up every single year. Why? Because we're lukewarm. We're stuck in the middle. Here's the reality. I have worked in the schools now for about 15 years in this community. And unfortunately, almost every year, there's somebody who decides to commit suicide. It's a real thing. It's already happened this school year. And most of the time, majority of the time, that individual who made that choice is always somebody who you would have never thought would ever do that. So what I mean by that is they were almost in the middle. They were lukewarm, and that's when they made that choice. Broken marriages, that number continues to climb. Product of being lukewarm. Screen time, out of control. Why do you think we're full of stress, anxiety, and fill in the blank? These are all products of being lukewarm, which brings me back to the series that Pastor Angel just talked about, the seven churches, which we're going to talk about today. I'm going to recap the seven churches, but before I do, I want to start off with a word from Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. It says this, "Everyone who has ears should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches." So help us have open ears this morning, open minds and open hearts. No shame, no guilt, a heart to grow and to step into hope today. That's what we're going to do. Let me try to read these church names and butcher them, and you can make fun of me, okay? The first church, Ephesus, the church that lost its first love. The second church, Smyrna, the persecuted church. And again, if you want to go back and watch these, listen to these, jump on our app, jump on our YouTube. It's an incredible resource. The third church, Pergamum, the compromising church. The fourth church, Thyatira, the church tolerating sin. The fifth church, Sardis, the dead church. The sixth church, Philadelphia, the faithful church. And last but not least, the church that we're going to talk about today, Laodicea, which I'm going to call the Lays Church for pronunciation reasons today. So stick with me, you theologians, you're going to judge me for that. That church is all about the lukewarm church. Who likes Lay's potato chips? Raise your hand. All right. Who likes the yellow original bag? Those are lukewarm. They are terrible. They're just sodium. Okay, go take a salt tablet. There you go. Just saved you some money. They're like in the middle. There's no flavor, right? Give me like the good stuff, like the hot bag with some athlete on it that's like super hot, or like the classic barbecue, right? Like, don't give me the middle, like the plain one, or it's like the Ruffles brand, the plain Ruffles. Who eats those? Yeah, I'm judging you, okay? That's just terrible. So the Lays Church, that's kind of what this church was going through. This church, the conflict of, this is what we're going to talk about today, this conflict of being in but not all in. Being in but not all in. See, the struggle of half-hearted commitment in life today, let's talk about kind of what it means for us. Imagine being on a team, a sports team, a project that's doing a team together, where only a few people are fully invested. I see it every single year coaching baseball, right? We have kids who are all in. They're a part of our programs all year around. And then come spring, they have a lot of success. And then there's those kids who aren't having success. And it's because they showed up day one and they thought they'd be fine. And they didn't put any other work in throughout the rest of the year. They weren't all in. They were just partially in. And then they look to us, and it's our fault because they're not having success. And they begin to blame and complain. It's the same for a lukewarm faith. It's like showing up but not giving your all. You might be sitting like, man, why am I not hearing from God? Why isn't miracles happening? Why isn't my relationships better? Well, the reality is are you all in? In those things. So everyday examples, I already talked about the relationship piece, right? A friendship, a marriage. And I'll talk about this personally later on in my message. But where one person is invested, but the other is disengaged. The result, what happens? Resentment builds and the relationship becomes stagnant or dissolves. The individual battle of partial commitment continues. And what does it do to us? It drains us emotionally. We don't reach our potential. And this inner conflict, this battle begins to go in us and begins to affect everything that goes through us into our relationships, our work, our energy, our love, all of it. Culturally, here's how I know culturally we are lukewarm as a culture. Because erosion of excellence happens, lack of trust happens, and spiritual drift happens, creating a society of mediocrity. That is our world today. That has been the world pretty much from day one. That's why Jesus had to come. That's why we desperately need him to come again. The tension of living half in, half out. I said it earlier, feeling torn between wanting the benefits of commitment, but avoiding the cost. You want to read more about that? Read the Gospels. The people that Jesus called and didn't want to come because of fill in the blank. The cost. It's real. There is a cost to growth. No matter what you're trying to accomplish, even spiritually, there is a cost. Relationships and communities falter when commitment is unreliable. Lukewarmness isn't the absence of failure. It's the quiet surrender to mediocrity. And today my heart is we will surrender to Jesus and not to mediocrity. That's my challenge for myself and for you today. As we go into a week of Thanksgiving, where we get a little bit of extra rest, more time with family, this is a small sample of, hey, we have a chance to hit reset right now. See, lukewarm living is the decision to live beneath your purpose. I believe everybody here has a purpose. No matter your story, no matter your age, no matter your economic wealth or where you are economically, no matter where you are educationally, you have a purpose. And I believe it's more than you think. Why? Because I see it in the gospel and I see it in Jesus' words and I've seen it in people's lives around me who have decided to go all in with Jesus. And my hope is that we can do that too. Angel mentioned this earlier, eggnog. I love me some eggnog. So we have a split house. My oldest, Vale, loves eggnog, hot and cold, right? Who likes to heat their eggnog up? Raise your hand. Yeah, let's go. Those are real people right there. That's my kind of people. I want to hang out with you guys. After church, come find me. We're going to start an eggnog group, hot. And we're going to drink hot eggnog group, eggnog together, and just talk about life, okay? And so Vale loves it hot and cold. But here's the reality. Eggnog just left out, lukewarm, you're going to get diarrhea, okay? It's a real thing. It happens. I've tried it. Not good, okay? It's delicious cold, not delicious hot, not so much in the middle, okay? But here's the reality. This is why I say this, because lukewarm faith works the same way. It's ineffective, unappealing, and ultimately damaging. Your soul will be damaged. And once your soul is damaged, it then begins to damage your mind, which then damages your choices, which then usually damages our bodies. It's a cycle. And so that brings me back to the today's talk around the church of Laodicea. This tension was happening inside their church, being in, but not all in. And as we get going this morning, I want to start with a question for you to begin to think about. Where in our lives, I say are, because I'm a part of this, might we be lukewarm, neither fully committed nor fully disengaged? And what is that doing to our souls and our purposes? As you sit here today, how is your soul? How's your mind? How's your heart? Like, what's going on right now? Only you can answer that. And the church of Laodicea historically was a city of wealth. This was a city that was great at banking. They were great at building. They were incredible in modern day medicine, but they were spiritually poor. And what's even crazier is the lukewarm name for that city wasn't just spiritual. There was two surrounding cities that provided hot springs and a cold spring to them. And because of that, it created a lukewarm water supply for them, which created physical challenges around having to do certain things culturally that we take for granted because we can just do hot and cold water like that, no problem. And we can fix things and clean things and make things and all this stuff where they couldn't do that because their water supply was literally lukewarm, which is hilarious because then if you look at the church of that day, what did Jesus call them? Lukewarm. To the point, this city lived out that cultural kind of name tag so much so that they had a devastating historical earthquake that was credited to happen in about 60 AD, and it wrecked them. But they were so dead set on, we don't need any help. We will do it our way. We've got it. That Rome came in, obviously a very powerful an empire of that day with unlimited resources and were willing to help and gift them all that they would need to get back on track very quickly. And this culture said, no, thank you, which was not very smart. And why did they make that choice? Because they were so stuck in their lukewarm thinking, which then tied into the church. But there was this attitude of self-sufficiency, like, I've got this. I can fix this myself. I don't need you. which then crept into their relationships with God when they stepped inside the church of, yeah, I can take a little bit of a God, but I got the rest. God, you can have part of my heart, but you can't have all of it. You can have this piece of my life, but not this piece, because I can handle this piece without you. I'm going to read to you today the words that kind of got this message created, and where it talks about the church specifically, it's found in Revelation chapters 3, verses 14 through 22. My challenge for you this week, this is not the only passage that you hear or read in the Bible. That's my challenge, okay? Don't let this be the only Bible you read all week. Write this to the angel of the church in Laodicea. Here is a message from the Amen. I love that name. From the Amen. The faithful and true witness, the ruler of all that God has made. I know what you do. You are not hot or cold. I wish that you were hot or cold, but you were only warm, not hot, not cold. So I am ready to spit you out of my mouth. You say you are rich. You think you have everything you need, but you don't know that you are really miserable, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy gold from me, gold made pure in fire. Then you will be rich. I tell you this, buy clothes from me, clothes that are white. Then you can cover your shameful nakedness. I also tell you to buy medicine for your eyes so that you can see. Remember, this is Jesus' words. I correct and punish the people I love, so show that nothing is more important to you than living right. Change your hearts and lives. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you, and you will eat with me, aka an intimacy that we all need. Those who win the victory will sit with me on my throne. Jesus won, just as I won the victory and sat with my Father on his throne. Everyone who has ears, this should listen to, everyone who has hears this should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Talk about powerful words by Jesus. Talk about a gut punch by Jesus. That's real talk. We don't like that, right? Who likes to get called out for accountability from their spouse? Not me. I'm not very good at it. Ask Courtney. Right? It's hard to hear the truth. It does something to us. Most of the time, it makes us defensive. Most of the time, it leads to brokenness, feeling shameful, feeling guilty, all these things. Here are the key teachings that I'm hoping that you take away from today. The dangers of being spiritually lukewarm. That's like everything we're talking about today. Not fully committed to Jesus or just having faith in what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Encouragement to repent and live passionately for Christ. I think when we hear the word repent now, it's almost like a negative, right? But the reality is repenting is one of the healthiest things we could ever do. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from the cross. And if we don't want to be lukewarm, we have to repent. In order to repent, we have to confess. In order to confess, we have to be vulnerable. And that's not fun. One of our core values here at Hope is authenticity. That's hard. It's hard for me sometimes. Why is lukewarm faith dangerous? Well, it's pretty self-explanatory, but let's talk about it. It's deceptive. It feels comfortable, but it robs us of purpose. Living with Jesus in a lukewarm relationship, kind of just the Christianese kind of thing, you can feel good about things. You can know enough Bible stories or raise your hands in worship and come get your fix in a sense. And that might sound harsh, but like that's what living lukewarm is, right? And then the rest of the 167 hours that we have, we kind of just do our own thing. I'll take care of that on Sunday. Here's the if I could just say one thing today and walk off the stage, here was what I would say almost every time I spoke. Jesus didn't die on the cross for a half-hearted relationship. Jesus was not tortured, literally tortured, for 24 to 48 hours, just torture, betrayed, abandoned, beaten, spit on, mocked, doubted, quit on. physically just destroyed so that myself can just show up to church, shake some hands. Hey, angel man, how you doing? Good. See you later. Get in my car, drive home, watch some football, put my feet up. Again, none of those things are bad. None of those things are wrong. But we are called to live all in with Jesus and not be in a lukewarm relationship, because if not, why did he die on the cross? And again, I say that with grace this morning, because I am a part of that. But let me go back to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. He says, I know what you do. You are not hot or cold. I wish that you were hot or cold, but you are only warm, not hot, not cold. So I am ready to spit you out of my mouth. Let's talk about this. Why is cold better than lukewarm? Being spiritually cold may seem worse, it may seem more dramatic, it may seem like that person's in a worse spot, but it's a more honest place. When you know you're far from God, you're more likely to reach out for help when you're desperate, when you're like at the lowest of your story. That's why you hear about people being radically transformed, because they're not in a lukewarm spot. They are in as cold a spot as they can be, and they're just dying from the inside out, and they experience a little bit of taste of life of Jesus, and it transformed them to the other spectrum of, I am on fire for Jesus, and I am all in. You read that in the scriptures. You hear about it today, still happening all the time. You see, the problem with lukewarmness is it numbs us. It creates a false sense of security. And I can say that because I've had friends of mine, I've had family of mine, I've known peers of mine who have fallen in the trap of, yeah, I'll just go to church like once every couple of months. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I give here and there. Look at my family on the gram. Like, we're all well. We love each other. We do good stuff. We're good people. But like, they won't go all in. And getting people like that to want to come to church or buy into the church or fully commit is really, really hard, because they have a false sense of security. Retirement, benefits, 401ks, investing, those are all healthy things that we should be practicing and doing, because they give us resources and opportunities and influence. Don't think I'm just saying live carelessly. But we do live in a culture, especially in the Western world, where there's a false sense of security in our salaries, in our job titles, and in all the things I just talked about. And when you're trying to reach someone in that kind of world, it can be really hard to get them to understand the desperate need of Jesus. See, hot versus cold, Jesus wants this. Hot faith represents like an energy for Jesus that has a wholehearted commitment. Cold faith, while distant, is honest and open to change. But Jesus rejects lukewarmness over and over. You see in the Gospels as well, because it settles for less than the fullness of the gospel. It takes me back to chapter 3, verse 20 of Revelation. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you, and you will eat with me. End quote. The eating part is more of a symbolism of an intimate moment of their time, right? Having a meal with somebody back then was like super intimate, like it was a special, it still is. But even more so back then. I just turned 40 last week. I lost my hair, it's crazy. You turn 40 and now my head's shiny. Man, whew, it was real. But when I turned 40, it's a time of reflection, right? You hear the story of, or the stories of, or the sayings of like the midlife crisis and all that stuff. It can happen at any age, right? 30, 40, 50, or if you're an angel. And so you begin to have your own battles. Like, I begin to think about my life, right? I had a chance just to, I love to reflect sometimes too much, and I'm just thinking about my story and where I'm at professionally, relationally, everything and more, right? And it's easy to begin to kind of beat yourself up. It's easy to begin to think of like a life of regret, of action or inaction. It's easy to say, man, if I had just not done this, or if I'd done this, or I hadn't gone left, I'd gone right, if I had just stayed the course, I'd maybe, like, it's easy to play this game of, like, what if? If it shoulda, coulda, woulda, as my dad would say. It got me thinking of, like, broken relationships of, like, friends that I've had for a long time that we're not as close anymore for different reasons. Maybe part of it was my own doing. Part of it was just choice of what we decided, me and my family, to believe in and proclaim. And then just part of it's just we have a disagreement, and now there's a broken relationship. Broken dreams. Like, I'm 40. Like, of course I had dreams growing up. Of course I still have dreams looking ahead. But there are dreams of mine that I tried or I wanted to try, and it just didn't work out for whatever reason. And I begin to think to myself, like, man, those seasons of living in lukewarm, I look at my marriage sometimes, and my wife is really good at holding me accountable of, like, you gotta invest more in us. And I think when I was writing this message, I literally had to apologize to her, because I can see that there have been seasons, moments, some longer than they should have been, where our relationship had gotten lukewarm. I had gotten, like, complacent, comfortable, because things were good, right? We got two little great girls, we got a home, like, all is well. They're healthy, we're happy. But when the reality is, internally, like I said earlier, we're dying from the inside out, and we have to invest in it. The same is true in our relationship with Jesus. Like I said at the very beginning of this message, if you're wondering why miracles aren't happening, if you're wondering why you're not hearing his voice, if you're wondering why, then look in the mirror. How much time are we spending on things that really don't matter? Your Netflix watch list does not matter. How many likes or views or whatever does not matter. So I want to diagnose kind of what it means to be spiritually lukewarmness, and then we're going to talk about, like, basically what are we going to do from here. What I love about the Gospels is it's, and I love about why Jesus came, is I truly believe we were in need of a Savior, obviously, right? That was the prophecy. That's the story. Like, we know the story. We know the end. And we have a part in it. But what I love about it is, if you go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, it says this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. If you come to church for more than 6 months in your life, you've probably heard that, because it's what we're called to be. If we love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all of our mind, we will not be lukewarm. And that's why Jesus had to come to demonstrate to a dying entity of the modern day church of their time, to re-show them what it looked like to truly live for God. At that time, the church, and before that, whether it was the Israelites or even before that, people were not all in with God. That's why they kept getting distracted by idols or different entities or different conquering of this or more wives or whatever. Fill in the blank. Mankind has always been trying to fill their soul with other things that leads to them living a lukewarm life. Because the only answer is truly to go all in, but it's hard. Why? Because there's a cost. And so today I want you to do this for me. I said it at the beginning, I said it in the middle, I'm going to say it at the end. Please do not sit here right now feeling guilty or feeling shame. Instead, do this. Reflect on areas in your life where we are giving God only part of our devotion instead of our whole selves. And don't let that, like, discourage you. Let it encourage you, because now you know, and now you can act upon it. That's the great piece of reflecting with God, is God doesn't want you to reflect to feel guilty. God wants you to reflect to grow. We say it all the time to our athletes, like, you win or you learn. Like, you're gonna lose. Like, it's called sports. You're not gonna win every time. So when you lose, don't let it beat you up and destroy you. Learn from it. Same thing when you win. What went well? What do I need to start? What do I need to stop? What do I need to continue? All the basic things you read about from all different organizations. But here's the coolest thing. The promise to those who truly say, I don't want to live a lukewarm life. I want to live a life where I'm all in. It says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, those who win the victory will sit with me on my throne just as I won the victory and sat with my Father on his throne. So in other words, if we choose to go all in with Jesus, we win. Maybe not what the world thinks as winning, but we win in a sense of eternal life with Jesus and a fulfilled life with purpose while we're here on this earth. We should be full of purpose and hope and joy. That's what we're called to be as Christians, not to live, not to be fake, but to be filled with a hope where when we do face the discouraging pieces of life and the discouraging battles in our minds, we still have hope because we have Jesus, because we're all in with him. Here's my challenge for you today, literally. Today, at the very beginning, I had you write down, some of you probably did, most of you probably didn't, that's okay. It says, today I commit to fill in the blank. Whether you do this or not, I challenge you to do it on your own this week as you have a little bit of extra time, because you're probably gonna get a little bit of extra time because this week's a unique week for us on the calendar. But I wanna share a quote with you really fast before, as you think about this. Vision without action is merely a dream. Action without vision just passes the time. Vision with action can change the world. I truly believe you can change the world. I believe that because I've seen so many individuals throughout history do such. Books have been written, movies have been made about individual lives who've decided to go all in with God. There's also a bunch of stories called the Gospels. It's pretty cool, you should read them. And many other stories called the Old Testament of people who went all in. Crazy miracles happened. You should read them. I'm gonna ask Armin to come back up here. But I wanna challenge you today on this prayer card or however you wanna do it, to write down, what am I gonna commit to on this card where it prompts you, today I commit to fill in the blank. Encouraging you guys to take time to reflect right now and also this week on what is it, where in my life am I lukewarm in? And then reflecting on, how am I gonna grow in that area? Not beat yourself up. Spend time in prayer. Reconnect with someone that's been neglected or a broken relationship. Say yes to like serving here at Hope. If I'm being even more 100% with you guys, or 100, however you say it, we should never have a problem. If we're not a lukewarm church globally, why does every church struggle to get people to serve in kids? Like, I get mad saying that out loud. Like, because we are literally paving the way for the next year. We're showing them the steps to take, but we're not willing to guide them. No, that's not my job. Look at those kids, man, bunch of punks. Well, what are we doing? Like, we shouldn't have problems with getting volunteers and Hope Kids or any entity like that with even our youth. Like, where can we begin to step into a relationship with God and go all in? Give up our time, our energy, and our finances. Three things that are really hard to give up. See, lukewarmness, it creeps in when we think we're finished. We think that, oh, I said yes to Jesus, did it. I finished, I'm good. But then when we believe there's nothing more to strive for in our walk with Jesus, that's when lukewarmness creeps in. Here's the reality. Every day with Jesus is day one. And hear my heart. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. But there's still work to be done. It's like a, I don't even know how to say it. Don't confuse with earning salvation. That's not what I'm asking you to do. You're not earning salvation, the cross, it is finished, the resurrection, all that is finished. But just like the disciples, man, the disciples lived hard, hard lives until most of them were martyred. So here's the last things I'm gonna say. Where do we need to go all in our relationship with Jesus? Where do we need to go all in our Hope? Where do we need to go all in our families, our communities? where do I need to commit to more? About a month before this series or towards the end of the summer, some of our staff were wearing the shirts, commitment to more. Like, that doesn't stop because summer's over and groups have started. I'm gonna leave you with this verse. Again, I read it earlier, I'm gonna read it again. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am, I stand at the door and I knock. This is Jesus. Do me a favor, close your eyes with me for a second. Just close your eyes. I'm gonna read this to you. This is Jesus' words. This is not something that I Googled, read, or anything. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and eat with you, and you will eat with me. Lukewarm living is a decision to live beneath your purpose. My challenge for us at Hope is we're gonna live above that line. We're gonna live with purpose, and we're gonna go do what we say every single week, and that's unleash hope to the tri-season beyond by loving God, loving people, and living like Jesus. Let me pray. God, we thank you for the cross. We thank you that you went all in for us on the cross, before the cross. We thank you that you created a circle of individuals, male and female, young and old, of people who went all in with you and sacrificed it all, left their families, left their professions to go and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah and the one true God that changes everything. And I pray that we, in our lives, can do the same this week and beyond. We can commit to our families, our spouses, our kids, to our friends' kids, our church's kids, to pave the way and show them the steps on how to do that. I pray against any shame or any guilt today, Father. I pray for hope, and I pray help us all to step out of our lukewarm faith and step into an all-in relationship with you. Amen.